last case, tried to get in before. One time.
The doors lock and the lights go off.
Yeah, I don't want to spend the night here.
Was it saying we get locked in?
Good afternoon.
Good.
Afternoon, everyone.
Hello. Good morning.
The next day.
Are we still on?
We're on.
Okay. This is case number 11, 21-222, if council could both identify themselves.
Yeah, I am attorney Cindy Salas, and I represent the commissioner of the Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection in this revocation hearing. And my witness is Officer Edgar Vidare of the Bridgeport Police Department.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the board. Not too much that I remember being able to have said. I said good morning, and now I'm saying good afternoon. Well, good afternoon nonetheless. I'm John Draft, representing the appellant.
Thank you, counsel. Attorney Salas, would you like to make an opening statement?
I would. We are here today because appellant's pistol permit was revoked based on suitability grounds. We will present evidence that appellant fired shots in the air. The story the appellant told police is baffling, and it, if taken at his word, it still indicates he is not a suitable permit holder.
Thank you. Attorney Draft?
I agree.
Okay. You may proceed.
Officer Vidare, sir, would you please state and spell your name?
Sure, my name is Edgar, E-D-G-A-R, last name is Vidare, V-I-D-A-U-R-E, and I work for the Bridgeport Police Department.
Great. And what do you do there?
I'm a patrolman.
Okay. And how long have you been employed with the Bridgeport
Police Department? It's going to be 7 years.
And were you working as an officer in the Bridgeport Police Department on September 16, 2020?
Yes, I was.
And were you dispatched to a call for service regarding a suspicious person?
Yes, I did.
And where were you dispatched to?
I was dispatched to 81 Berkeley Street.
Okay, and what did you encounter when you arrived there?
When I arrived, I had two other officers on scene already, and the appellant right there in the front porch of the residence, actually screaming for help, stating that he hurt his leg, hyperextended his knee because he was running. And while we were there, Officer Park, an assistant officer, observed a live round on the ground near to the steps of the front porch. And obviously that prompted us to dig into a little more and conduct a pat down of the appellant. And I guess at that point he realized that we were up to something, obviously with that. And he forwarded the information that he owns a gun. And it was a front porch with shelves that he was near it. And the gun
just
was
there. Just to stop you right there, was this the appellant's home?
Nope.
No?
No.
So, as far as you know, was the appellant in any way related to the homeowner or friends with
no.
the homeowner? Okay. And so this was some random stranger's home that the appellant was in front of, and he decided to slide his gun that he owned into?
Indeed.
Okay. Please explain further for the board what happened next.
After he mentioned that he had the gun hidden on that shelf, Officer Ribeiro looked into it, found a gun hidden behind shoes, and retrieved the gun and made a save. She retrieved a Glock, a 45 mil, with the full mag and one round in the chamber.
Did you and the other officers ask the appellant to explain what happened, why his gun ended up there?
He couldn't explain why he hid it or why he put it there. The only thing he forwarded to us is that he was running, and when we asked why he was running, he said, well, I was on Orange Street, which is a street over a few blocks, and he heard some shots, and he started running because he was afraid. And while he was running, he drew his firearm and started shooting. back. When I asked if he saw who was shooting at him, he mentioned that he didn't see anybody, and they obviously asked them who you were shooting at. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, I was just shooting. And he claimed that he shot about 4 rounds.
And was that verified by the missing?
It didn't make sense. Yeah. No, it didn't make sense, okay. Because obviously through the process of finding the gun, we continued searching in the area, and we found an empty mag belonging to that gun as well. Obviously, if you fire 4 rounds, didn't make no sense whatsoever on our findings.
Okay, okay. And what happened next in the course of the investigation?
We called for medics, and he was taken to St. Vincent's Hospital. Officer followed through,
take your time.
Okay, right after that, we wanted to find out whether he we told them we have found an additional magazine hidden there, and if he knew where that came from. He didn't answer to that, and obviously couldn't explain why he had an empty mag if he fired only 4 shots. Officer Ribeiro went to the hospital.
With the appellant?
With the appellant.
Okay.
While we finished conducting our investigation. And while he was over there, we searched the area furthermore, and then I went to the hospital to see and finish up the conversation of the investigation with him. And Officer Ribeiro mentioned that he forwarded some information saying that he fired some shots in the air because somebody was shooting in the area, and he didn't know, and the shots were coming closer and closer, and that's the reason why he fired some rounds on the air. The reason why, besides all this, everything got very suspicious is because about 45 minutes to an hour prior, we had a shooting in that area of Orange Street and Hollister Ave. And apparently the information that he forwarded to Officer Ribeiro saying that the shooting, or he shot his firearm in the area of Holly Street and Central Ave. Holly Street doesn't exist. I'm assuming he was referring to Hollister. But it's a pretty long block, and obviously we after the fact, when we went back there searching for shell casings, we couldn't find anything or spot the area where the shooting really happened. We took obviously pictures of his clothing, and just in case something comes back of complaints or witnesses seeing people shooting or something else. Also, we I jumped a very critical part. Obviously, we made the gun safe and we retrieved it, and we took it for evidence. Once that I was at the hospital as well, I issued a misdemeanor summons to the appellant for unlawful discharge of a firearm, and with the court date, and I'm assuming he went to that date.
Let me just think for a second. So, officer, as you understand the appellant's story, he was in that neighborhood and somebody who was unknown to him was shooting at him, and so he started to shoot back into the air at an unknown person. Is that correct?
Well, he didn't state that somebody that he doesn't know, who knows him, was shooting. He just stated that somebody was shooting.
Somebody was shooting, okay.
And he got scared and started running.
Okay.
And while he was running, he decided to throw his firearm and started firing shots in the air, I guess to scare whoever was shooting at him.
Okay.
While him or shooting at somebody else in the area. And when I asked, obviously, he was just shooting without any regard to, you know what I mean, he could have hit somebody, something.
And would you consider his placement of the weapon and the magazine as if he was hiding it?
Objection leading.
Yeah, sustained.
How would you describe how he placed his weapon and his magazine?
Well, obviously, the firearm and the magazine was sitting in the shelf in between the shoes. And the only reason why he forwarded that information was after we found the live round on the ground near the steps of the front porch. And we started with the pat down, and we were up to something. We were going to find that gun, even if he didn't forward, because we were going to search the area of his waist spot.
Other than his pulled muscle from the running, did the appellant have any other injuries?
No other injuries, no.
Okay.
He was complaining about overextending his, I think it was his left knee.
Okay. I don't have any more questions.
Cross.
Thank you. Officer, did you review your police report today while in this room to prepare to testify?
Yes, I have.
And was that something that you recently obtained from the Bridgeport Police Department records?
No.
Okay. Is that something that you obtained subsequent to, let's say, November of 2022?
After, yes.
After?
Yes.
So your testimony then is that despite an erasure applying in this case, that report was still available at the Bridgeport Police Department?
I think still available if he wants it.
Thank you. Now, you said that when you arrived on Beardsley Street, that the appellant was screaming for help?
Yes.
And when you say screaming, without, because it's late in the day, although maybe we call it, how loud was it? I mean, was it somebody that was really in agony, or was he just kind of mildly shouting?
No, he was being loud, asking for help, screaming for help. Said that he was running and he was running from somewhere and he hyperextended his knee and he needed medics. Obviously calling all the attention to him and not to the area where he was at. Possibly that's me as a police officer looking into the whole thing.
Now you said that, I think you had said 45 minutes to an hour earlier, that there was a shooting.
Yes.
At the corner of Hollister and Orange.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be right, that's in the city's east end, right?
Yes.
That's right near Massey Fuel.
Yes, right up in that area, right in that location.
Now, when you say a shooting, is that something different than a shots fired call?
Well, yeah, I probably should say shots fired. Nobody was arrested, nobody was caught firing or shooting at someone specifically, but there were multiple shots fired.
Okay, so just so the board is clear then, the call that came in that it happened supposedly 45 minutes to an hour before you were on Beardsley Street, that was that there was a report of gunfire.
Right.
Not that somebody had been shot.
No.
Okay. So there was no victim. Okay. Thank you. Now, you also referenced the empty magazine that was located on the porch.
Mm-hmm.
And you said that that was found in the area. And when you say in the area, do you mean in the same generalized area as the firearm
yes.
itself was located?
Yes, okay, so inside a shoe.
So this wasn't 5 feet away or tossed in the grass or anything like that? Okay. And you said that that one was empty, correct?
Yes.
And you have no way of knowing how many rounds, frankly, if any, were in that magazine to begin with, correct?
Well, the my findings, if I see a round life on the ground, okay, and I find an empty magazine that holds 10 rounds, and I find a gun with a full mag and one round in the chamber, that means he had a slide move the slide on the gun and inject one live round for some reason in that location, okay, and release it. So another round went inside the chamber, and then he decided to change the magazine and put it out. It's the only explanation why there were 10 and 1 with a round in the chamber and one round on the floor that belonged to him.
I understand that, mm-hmm. but my question is, as you sit here today, or as you arrived on Beardsley Street back when this happened, that empty magazine, was that holding 10 rounds at some point that night?
Well, he should be able to explain that because he said he fired 4 rounds out of the magazine.
Okay, I'm asking you, sir.
Well,
do you know if that magazine was holding 10 rounds? In other words, was it full?
Well, I don't know. I can't tell that. Okay. I don't know whether he shot four rounds or he shot 9. The fact of the matter is that the having an empty magazine proves that he shot rounds in the air, whether it was 4, 5, 6, or 9.
Which he admitted to you, that he had fired
yes.
rounds. And he admitted that to
yes.
the other officer that
yes.
accompanied him to the hospital.
He did.
Right? Now, you had referenced, and I don't know if it was that he had said it to you or to one of the other officers, but you had referenced that the appellant had indicated that he was in the vicinity of Orange Street between Holly and,
mm-hmm.
what was the other street?
Central Ave.
Okay. And then I believe you had testified that Holly Street doesn't exist.
Well, not in that area.
Right. Holly Street's up off by Seaview Avenue, right,
right
over near the hospital,
right.
or Bridgeport Hospital, because right. we were talking about St. V's, right? There's a Holly Street over there.
Yeah,
nowhere
St.
Near
Vincent's.
This.
That's on the north end. This happened on the
right.
east end.
So, I just want to clarify, there
yeah.
is a Holly Street.
There is a Holly
Street,
but it's not near the area where he was talking.
Okay.
Nothing
and
that it will interact with Orange and Central Ave.
Okay. You also testified, which that Hollister is right there and that Holly might have been referring to Hollister, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is there any particular reason why that particular assumption that Holly might have meant Hollister was not put in the report?
No.
Because in fact, when he was talking about Orange between Hollister and Central, right?
Mm-hmm.
Orange Street starts where Hollister is, right near Massey Fuel.
Right.
And then the next one's Wilmot, Carroll,
yeah. and
Union. Or I'm sorry. I don't remember if Union. You patrol that area more than I'm down there, so
Union
I'll take your word for it.
Perpendicular to that one.
But then I don't remember the order, but Union and Central, right?
Well, yeah. You'll have, yeah. Union is, it's running on the opposite side of the ASAP.
So when he indicated that he had fired the shots on Orange Street between Holly, which we've heard your testimony, you assume that to mean Hollister, and Central Avenue, That is what, approximately 4 or maybe 5 blocks?
To the location where he was at, probably about 6 blocks.
Not where he was at, where he said, told you that he had fired the shots.
Well, it's about 3 blocks. Yeah, 3 blocks.
That's the area he pinpointed, right?
Yep.
Saying, I fired my gun somewhere in that 3 block radius. Okay. Now, who went back after leaving the hospital to canvass that area looking for
myself
shell casings?
And Officer Ribeiro.
Okay, and is that the 3 block area that you had searched?
We looked the area, we didn't find any.
Okay, so then?
Any dispensed shell casings.
Okay.
Whether they were fire or not, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, it's really hard to tell. And you know the area, if you're familiar with the area, it's not a clean sidewalks and streets, it's...
I grew up in the East End, so I'm pretty familiar with it,
okay.
Although it's quite a bit different now. Mm-hmm. You also testified that you had issued the appellate a misdemeanor summons, and that was for...
Unlawful
discharge. Thank you. And the reason why I bring that up is that you had said that something to the effect that he had discharged the weapon with no regard to the possibility of hitting someone or something.
That's an unlawful discharge.
Okay. This was what time?
That happened around 1:30 in the morning.
Based on your training experience as a Bridgeport police officer, would it cause a resident of the east side of Bridgeport annoyance and alarm to discharge a firearm at 1 in the morning?
If it was in Black Rock, yes. If it was in the east end, not so much.
No. Okay. why, it's unfortunate, but probably true.
Yeah.
Why was the appellant not charged with reckless endangerment?
Well, we decided to charge him with unlawful discharge because we didn't have any more to go to at the moment. And, you know, if something would have come up by having pictures of his clothing and any other complaint will come up to the table, then obviously more charges can follow if that's the case.
And reckless endangerment, if there was some action that was recklessly endangering the safety or well-being of another, that's actually a more serious charge in our penal code than unlawful discharge, right? And did you consider charging him with that offense?
No, I did not.
Is there any particular reason why you did not consider charging with that offense?
I thought about it, and I think the discharge was enough to get his permit and guns away from him.
Was that your intent in making the arrest, was to get his permit and guns?
No, not necessarily, but somebody who's going to draw a firearm and start shooting at the first sign of danger, I don't think it's appropriate for that person to be able to have a gun and just freely feel that that's a way to maybe scare off somebody or defend yourself right away.
Thank you, Officer. I have nothing further.
Questions by the board?
Yes.
Attorney Sinetti.
Okay. Regardless of whether he was charged, would you consider somebody firing 4 shots down the street at nobody reckless conduct?
Yes.
Thank you. Oh, by the way, were you in the service by any chance, Army?
Yes, I was.
Do you remember the term recon by fire?
Yes, sir.
That sounds like this, doesn't it? Okay, thank you.
What's recon by fire?
Recon by fire is you don't see anything, but you think something might be lurking in there, so you just spray the bushes.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Other questions by the board? No? Any other witnesses?
No other witnesses.
You may proceed.
Thank you. I would call the appellant. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Appellant, how old are you?
I'm 38 years old.
And what do you, are you gainfully employed right now?
Yes.
What do you do for work?
Commercial driver.
Could you be a little bit more specific? Do you have a CDL?
No, sir.
Okay.
So this is a local commercial. Basically, I work with O'Reilly's. I deliver parts, various parts, hard parts, soft parts, meaning up to boat parts, down to moped parts, throughout basically Fairfield County.
Now, in the early morning hours of September 16th in 2020, where were you if you recall?
I was at the bottom of Carroll Ave, just shooting some shit. Well, basically, sorry. talking to some friends. Sorry. I was talking to some friends that I seen earlier in the day, and that I bumped into them, and then we were just chatting, basically, for the remainder of the time that I was there.
I hadn't planned on asking you this question, but I suppose for the record purposes, it's appropriate. When you said what you just said, did you mean that as sort of a figure of speech, as opposed to literally?
Yes, it was a
shooting at things.
Yes, figure of speech. Sorry about that, guys. Basically, we were just talking, like I said, amongst some guys that I just used to work with back in Hartley and Parker. That's
all. What is Hartley and Parker?
Hartley and Parker is a liquor distributor. Stratford.
What time, if you recall, approximately did you get to that location?
Probably, I would say around. We sat there, probably talked a bit. Probably no later than 11:30, 12 o'clock around that midnight.
And so that would have actually been the day before, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And did you leave that location at some point?
Yes, eventually. Yes, I did.
Why did you leave that location if there was a particular reason?
Besides the gunfire, to go home.
What do you mean besides the gunfire?
Basically, we were hanging out, we were talking, and then a whole, like, within that whole area, gunfire, left, right, it was just all over the place, and we were like, okay, and I'm like, yo, I gotta go, boys. I'm out. So, that was pretty much it. And then, like how he said, you know, apparently I must have fired at nobody, which I didn't find true. There were cars passing by left and right. So what it was the gunshots that I have actually heard, they were actually closer to me. So that's the reason why I did the discharge, to scare them off, because I was scared myself. Nobody wants to get shot. Especially by a stray bullet, or especially by a group of people that are just shooting. I didn't even know that there was anything that happened within that area at all. I just bumped into some friends, then we heard the shots, I was scared, I ran.
Were you in the same location the entire time, from the time you got there until the time you left?
Yes.
So now you leave, you hear shots, mm-hmm. and you leave.
Yep, good.
What was your frame of mind at that point in time?
To just get out of there, go home.
Okay, I think you said you were scared?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, I would, from hearing gunshots isn't, you know, normal to anybody. Especially when they sound like they're at you, or they're in that area, period. It's not nice. So I just got out of there the best way I know how, which was on my own, how I got there, which was on my feet.
So you leave there, mm-hmm. where do you go?
So what I did was, it's at the end. So basically, we're looking down this way. So I made a right down Orange Street. And then basically I turned, made like another little right. That I believe Central, I'm not too sure, but made a right and then I made a left. That's when I fell. I don't know, it was like, I guess a ghost hole or something, but I was running and I fell. From when I fell, that's when I couldn't even get back up, tell you the truth. I couldn't get back up, so what I did was, where I was like underneath some underpass, so I just crawled to that person's house.
Did you And actually, let me ask you this. There's no dispute you fired the gun, right?
No.
You fired the gun?
Yes, sir.
Okay. To your recollection, if you know, how many shots did you fire?
I'm not sure, per se, but it was a few rounds. It was a few rounds to ward off whoever was coming or anything in my direction. Was it the best idea to do it? No, it wasn't.
When you fired the gun, was that before or after you fell?
That was before.
So, after you fire the gun, if that was before you fell, I take it you started running or at least walking again?
Mm-hmm.
And could you tell the members of the board how many blocks roughly is that you would have covered?
Total period, about a good six blocks, five, six blocks, I would say.
So you get to Beardsley Street, and I believe you just said you pulled yourself up on the porch.
Yeah. Before, basically, I pulled myself on the porch, there were lower level, like a basement, like windows. I tried to knock on the windows because I couldn't walk. I couldn't do anything but crawl. So I tried to knock on the windows to see if there was a light, somebody, or anything, nothing. So whatever strength I had left, I just pulled myself up on whatever steps they were, and then I just started knocking on the door, asking for help.
You heard my questioning of the officer with respect to where you had told the police that you had fired the gun, and it would have been on Orange Street, somewhere between Hollister, based on his assumption, and Central Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, to your recollection, accurate as to where you fired the gun?
No, he said I was in a completely different area.
What do you mean by that?
He said that basically in his earlier statement I was Hollister or Holly when I was actually on Carroll. And which is basically, if you're looking at it, the Massey Fuel is that way. So I was nowhere near that direction, basically. I was basically on Carroll, pretty much, hanging and talking to the guys.
But Carroll is two blocks west of Hollister.
Yes, yes.
So you were in the same general vicinity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is Holly a term that you would have used to describe Hollister Street in Richmond?
No, I would just say Hollister. Which I thought that I did.
Where were you when you encountered the police then?
I was basically on the lady's porch, on her front porch, basically.
Do you have any knowledge as to how it was that the police came to respond to that location?
Repeat the question or repeat.
Okay, let me ask you this. You testified that you knocked on the door of the house.
Mm-hmm.
Did anybody answer to it?
No, not at first. So when I knocked, I didn't hear anything. But then I heard like little dogs, you know what I mean? Like chihuahuas or something like that. I know that they were small. They didn't sound big because my girlfriend, her grandmother has like little chihuahuas in there. So it's like I heard the dogs. So I assumed that somebody was there. So my Spanish isn't the best. I know a little bit. So I just knocked on the door, ayúdame, pretty much, help me. That's it. And then, you know, the person through the door, they said, okay, in a minute, policia. So I said, okay. So I was like, all right, cool.
So based on that, what was your understanding of who you could expect to arrive on scene?
Police.
Did you make any attempt to flee that location?
No, I couldn't.
And the officer testified that they had located the firearm that you acknowledged was yours, correct? Mm-hmm. And that it was on a little shelf, I think he said, on the porch?
Yeah, he said it was hidden. It wasn't hidden at all. What it was is I took it off because given the state of everything, black guy late in the morning with a firearm, not good. And people, especially on that side of town, police show up, you know? So what I did was, my best thing was to separate me from my firearm. So I placed it right there in front of me.
And what was the deal with the empty magazine?
After the rounds I fired, basically I just slid the mag out and just put another one in there, and that was it. The round that they said he found, he could have found it because obviously I crawled. So at that same point in time, he said he was taking pictures, but I didn't see, or he didn't say that, you know, I was dirty or anything, you know, signs of me being roughed up or anything like that. So, you know, maybe a round fell out of my pocket, you know, upon me reloading the gun again.
And you were arrested in connection with this incident, right?
I believe he charged me, like he said. So I guess, yes, that would be the first.
And yes.
Okay, I will.
And, well, that's a good point. Was that the first time you were ever arrested for anything?
Yes.
And he testified, the officer that he issued you a misdemeanor summons. Was your confusion about whether or not you were arrested because it didn't involve the police handcuffing you and taking you downtown to Congress Street?
Yeah, pretty much. And then I seen him when I got to the hospital. There were two other officers, a male and a female there. And then at the same time, he said we were at St. Vincent's Hospital. I was at Bridgeport Hospital. So I don't know where he got the mislocation from also.
Fair point, but there's two hospitals in Bridgeport.
Yeah.
There's only two hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
What happened with your case that was in court as a consequence of this arrest?
So, rephrase? Like, I think.
So you and I understand the confusion is you were arrested. I understand you were handed basically a ticket, but you were arrested.
Okay.
You had to go to court as a consequence of that.
Yes, yes.
What happened with that case in court?
Basically what it was is I was issued the AR. I was issued the AR program, basically the Accelerated Rehabilitation Program, I believe. So I was supposed to take a class referring that I know and I understand the laws of having a firearm, which I passed. I was also, issued a list of things not to do, not to come in contact with anybody with a firearm, or not to get in trouble or anything like that, which I thought that I complied with. The hearing, I guess, was pushed back a while. So, you know, I guess it happened like 3 years or something. So ever since then, I've just been sitting and waiting for, I guess, a continuation of some sort.
I can personally attest to the board. The case was dismissed as a result of a successful AR completion back in October. I think what, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think what the appellant is referencing is that there is a judge in Bridgeport now that upon dismissing it did not seem to clearly understand the distinction between what a permit gives you the right to do as separated from possession of a firearm. We are still caught presently in that quagmire, but there is no case that it was dismissed on a successful completion back in October. And I can say that because I represented the appellant in that case.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, if this series of events were to unfold again, what, if anything, would you do differently?
Everything. The judgment.
Explain that to
them. The judgment that I made. Yes, I was scared. I was frightened. But I understand that I could have initially hurt somebody, somebody's kid, you know, somebody, you know, regardless of what time it was, it happened. And I've had a lot of time to sit there and just like really think about it. It's like, it kind of jammed me up a little bit, and I get kind of caught up because it's like, what that thing, what this whole incident did was it kind of, it set me back in a way where it's just like a humbling, pretty much. The fact of my family, you know, at the time, my job, because basically what I did was security also. Before I started doing a commercial, I was on my way to actually getting my carry card. So this kind of jammed that up, you know, knowing that and just the decisions that I've made, I would definitely do that over and just make a better judgment of an entire, because not only did this just, you know, hinder me as a person, just it just stopped so much things that I actually wanted to do, as far as, you know, security wise, as far as you know, securing the I believe I would have to carry, I would have to, you know, show my pistol, show that, you know, I have a good record in order to advance in that, and that's something that I messed up.
Just for point of clarification, when you say a carry card, are you referring to the blue card, which
is yes, security yes, guard credential? Yes. Well, yes, I have my initial security card. Then there's the blue card, so I can actually carry my pistol and actually advance in my work. So basically, receive a higher pay grade, receive a higher responsibility of those of that nature.
Thank you,
Madam
Chair.
For
yourselves.
Just a couple of questions. Sir, do you recall
yes.
the gun safety course that you took prior to getting your permit?
Yes, ma'am. I believe that I do.
Okay, and do you recall that they taught you that you should know your target and what is beyond? Do you recall that?
No, I don't recall that per se.
Okay. You said to your attorney, you said that you had concerns about being found by the police with a gun on you because you're a black guy late in the morning. So you put your gun on a shelf somewhere, but did you also put your magazine inside of a shoe on that porch?
Not that I know of.
Okay. I don't have any further questions.
Any questions by the board?
I guess I just have one.
Chief.
So what would you have done if you had gone to the hospital and your gun was still on the shelf?
Meaning that I didn't tell anybody?
Yeah, you didn't. You obviously didn't want to tell the police that you had a gun, and now all of a sudden you're going to the hospital, and you would have left your gun behind, loaded with a round in the chamber on someone's porch.
I understand that, but I let them know that it was there.
When did you let them know?
If they asked me if I had a firearm on me.
Yeah, I thought the officer testified that they searched and found it.
I don't know about that. Like I said, I didn't see him until I got to the hospital. The two officers that were there, they asked me, and I told them that it was right there. I didn't have any reason to lie, or they asked me a question, and it was right there. It's not that it wasn't mine, it was mine.
Thanks.
So, so.
Just to be clear, you did that because you wanted to be personally separated from the firearm, not because you were trying to conceal it?
Yes, just because I didn't want any confusion or anything.
And where were you running to? I know where you were running from, but where were you trying to run to? And the direction that you were running was in the direction of your home in Bridgeport or to a vehicle?
Yes, my home in Bridgeport. So basically, there's an underpass, and then there's Bearsley right there. Then, I believe if I may have made another right, that's Seaview. So I would be going over there and crossing over the bridge that connects Bridgeport to Stratford. I believe Bass Pro Shop is there now.
Mm-hmm.
So I would be continuing on running for a while. Cause I
so
don't
you're gonna run home, all the way home?
Yes, I didn't have a vehicle at the time.
How did you find yourself in Bridgeport that evening to begin with?
Basically, I was helping out my sister.
Okay.
My sister actually owns Creative Venues, and so I was just helping her set up, that's all.
And that's where you met the guys?
Yeah, the guys. Yeah. Because basically, it's right there. Creative Venues is right there near Massey Field. So I just was helping her, and then I was like, all right, sis, I'll see you later. And then I bumped into the guys.
Thank you.
Yes.
Other questions?
Yeah. So just because it's happened so often today, so when you met your friends at the liquor distributor, were there like some like small scale distribution going on? Were you drinking? Was there alcohol involved in this night? Or what caused you to act what most people would think like abnormal?
Well, I did have a beer. I had a Guinness. I had a Guinness because one of the guys came outside. It's like, hey, you want a drink? So I was like, not really, but I was like, all right, just one beer.
Is it one beer, like we heard earlier today, one beer and just being twice the legal limit?
No, it was actually...
What, one a car show beer?
No, I didn't hear it. It was kind of low. Okay. But
he had one beer and he was a .19, so...
Yeah, no, I only had one beer to my knowledge, like I said. Nothing else. I'm not really a heavy drinker like that at all.
Okay. And how mileage-wise, distance from there to your home, what was that going to be?
It's a trip. I live, how you could say, it was a while. Probably like, I would say, give or take, probably like 20 minutes, a half an hour. Okay. Because I live on the end part of the west, basically, going into Fairfield.
Other questions? Sir, do you remember how you were holding the firearm when you discharged the firearm? Was it pointed up? Was it pointed down? Was it pointed straight back to the side?
I'm not sure. I would say probably up in the air. Probably more than likely because, you know, yes, the fact that I didn't initially see anybody, but at the same time to actually just be shooting like that, or, you know, that's no good. I know I did discharge a few shots, but I wouldn't do it like that. That's definitely me discharging it anyway in the first place is silly. Mm-hmm. Shooting it like that would be even 20 times as far as shooting appearance.
Were there people in the area at the time?
No, not that I know of, besides the guys.
I saw you, when you discharged the firearm, were there people in the area?
No.
I thought I heard, and I could be wrong, I thought I heard you say when you were, I thought it was when you discharged, it could have been some point in your run, there were cars going by?
Well, yeah, throughout the whole night.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Do you know if there was a car in the area when you fired?
Not really, I'm not sure, but passerbys, like, you know, not, I would say, but I can't really.
And when you fired, what does that look like, the neighborhood? Was there residential around you? Was it the Bass Pro Shop? What was around you?
Nothing, just pretty much there's like a dead space there, like, okay. On Orange Street, and it's like there's like not really anything there besides the Orange Street, and then it's like a couple, like a big gap, and then it's like the highway, and then if you look over here, there's houses down over here, but in that whole area was pretty much not good.
So there wasn't a house nearby?
No.
I know you said at some point you were under the overpass or under, mm-hmm, whatever. That's where you fell?
Yeah. So basically, when I made that right initially, and then, you know, like I said, I was running, and then I just like fell, and then from there it was like crazy. I still have actually pain in my left knee now to this day. So it's like, you know, that's also a thing that's remembrance to that to just make me remind, like, hey, look, you know,
yeah,
what are you doing?
Yeah, I think my big concern is just, you don't know what you're firing at. It could be somebody.
That's what I'm getting at. Any other questions? Any other witnesses?
No, ma'am.
Would you like to make a closing statement?
Yes, thank you. I would actually ask a follow-up, but I think I can address it here, which is that you've heard testimony that the appellant, he heard gunshots. Unfortunately, not an uncommon occurrence in Bridgeport, but certainly when it's near you, it might give rise to more he admittedly discharged the weapon, hurt himself when the officers came on scene. We heard testimony that he was screaming in pain. Undoubtedly, if you're running from what at least you perceive as gunfire, the old adrenaline's probably pumping. You may not make the best decisions. To the Colonel's point, the one thing I would add about him having one beer is that we heard no testimony from the officer or any indicia of any sort of intoxication, because I suspect this would be a whole different situation. Thankfully, that wasn't the case. And we did hear testimony that I believe it was through the officer that the other officer, and I don't recall the name, but that the other officer testified that at the hospital that the appellant had commented that he shot in the air. And I say that in response to Attorney Sinetti's point, is that it was based on that comment, this wasn't necessarily discharging in a sort of linear fashion. Not that it's much better, but I suppose in the air you're less likely to strike something unintended than by firing a direct shot. But that was the testimony that we heard from the officer as to what the appellant's statement was at the hospital. Listen, this is a case that I, having grown up in Bridgeport, on the Bridgeport-Stratford line, kind of right in this area, I am very familiar with that area. I'm very familiar with what that area entails. I thank God that I have never been in that position. I hope I never am. I hope none of us are. I hope the appellant is not again. But I have to imagine that when you hear gunfire, it's close and it sounds like it's getting closer in that area. Was this perhaps a, I was gonna want you use one adjective, but I don't want to do what the appellant did earlier and make one that's out of character given the nature of the hearings here. But it wasn't the smartest thing to do. Can any of us say that in that scenario, if we are not trained with the benefit of perhaps law enforcement training or military training, that we would not have done the same? Some of us can say that for sure, but I don't think all of us can. He recognizes the lapse in judgment, and at these hearings, I don't shy away from the AR because at least I know, I'm sure all of you know, but in particular, I'm looking at the lawyers on the board. AR on a gun case, pretty hard to get, and it requires a judge of the Superior Court to make the finding that the charge is not of a serious nature, and perhaps more importantly for this board's consideration, the defendant is not likely to offend again. I think the appellant learned his lesson here. I think he understands that that was a poor decision, and we would ask the board to reissue the permit.
Thank you. Attorney Sells.
It's the department's position that there just hasn't been enough time since the incident in order for the department to feel comfortable with the appellant carrying in public. The appellant needs more time. The appellant needs, it appears, more training if he is going to be that fearful at the first sign of danger and shoot at, you know, an unknown target. So it is the department's position that there just hasn't been enough time, and the appellant most likely needs more training. We therefore ask the board to rule in favor of the issuing authority.
Thank you. Comments by the board?
I'll go ahead. We've had quite a few cases recently of either ADs or even one case of someone firing warning shots, maybe one or two shots into the air, and they don't get their permits. I've been here 10 years. I've never heard anything like this, where someone's running down the street firing rounds. We had one case where a guy accidentally fired a round and went through an apartment and hit an 8-year-old girl. I just can't believe that the appellant in this case did that. I've never heard of such a thing.
Other comments? Seeing none, Chief Rosenzweig.
issue with her.
Colonel Lewis.
Yeah, I agree. I think more time needs to pass, issue of authority.
Attorney Sinetti.
Whether it's fired horizontally or vertically, a bullet from a Glock pistol can go well over a mile. So you don't know where that bullet went or where it could have gone. I'm sorry, that's hard for me to swallow, issuing authority.
Dr. Conrad?
I'm going to say issuing authority at this time. I appreciate that this is likely a one-off situation for you, sir, but I think more time and perhaps more training would be called for.
And Acting Chair votes issuing authority at this time. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Okay. Before we get locked in,